that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why LeBron haters in L.A. just got a little more ammo.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you what I think about Ronaldo trying to one-up the World Cup. Speak for yourself on a Wednesday. A wild Wednesday starts now. A
lot of tears in England. This 61% Brit here, you shed a few tears. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by Fox soccer analyst Warren Barton and Ian Joy. Let's start with today's thrilling World Cup semifinal, where Croatia scored a goal late in extra time to defeat England 2-1 and advance to the World Cup final against France, which you can catch this Sunday right here on Fox. This is the third straight game Croatia had to go extra time, but they were still able to pull out the win. Warren, what the hell happened? How did they let this slip away?
I think the inexperience that they had, the midfield area that we've spoke about on this program before with the likes of Luka Modric and Rakitic in midfield. I'm proud of the boys of England, the way that they played, the commitment and effort. But when you're playing at that level, you need that little bit of quality and experience. And Croatia had that. Mandzukic takes his chance. But all round, it's been a wonderful performance by England, by Gareth Southgate. But just today was one bridge too far.
Were you surprised Croatia goes extra time again, and yet they seem to have more energy against the fresher, younger English team?
Yeah, I think, you know, because they've had that experience with Russia, where they've gone to extra time with Denmark, so they know they've got the capabilities to do that. They've got a talented squad of players. And again, it's that word experience in, and you know that as well as anybody, Sonny, is that sometimes when you're young, you run around, you're chasing lost causes. They pick their times to close people down, and they did it very well.
Warren Barton has every right to be proud of what England did at this World Cup. And this is a young England squad that will learn from this experience and go on to be a better nation and a better national side come the next World Cup and European Championships. But the word desire sticks out to me. Croatia showed a great deal of desire. This is the third time they've gone to extra time, and they showed extra energy. They showed a determination and a real desire and hunger to make it to the World Cup final. I didn't see that from England in the extra time period. They looked tired. Obviously, were unfortunate with the injury to Trippier, and it just was working against them.
To me, and again, obviously I'm a soccer novice, I know nothing. But I legitimately thought at the time, when England scored so early, I thought that could be bad. I thought they could relax, and that's what I thought I saw happen a little bit. They relaxed with that early lead.
I think, Jason, I think you're right. I think they got the goal, and it was like, well, where do we go now? He's got 85 minutes to go. But lately, after about 15, 20 minutes, Harry Kane had a really good opportunity.
Yes,
if he
did.
Takes that, yeah, then it's a whole different ball game, because 2-0, you can play a game a little bit more sensible. And I think you're right. I think in the second half, they got back. Do we hold on to what we've got? Do we keep it? And that allowed Croatia to get some momentum, and you just said, with the desire, but also their quality to keep the ball moving, keep asking questions. I thought they was excellent, Croatia.
Well, to the team Croatia will face in Sunday's final, France, from the eye test, they look like the best team in this. They should be a favorite, dominant in their run through the tournament, despite a very difficult path. So far, France has taken down heavyweights. Belgium, who I thought looked like the second best team, Argentina, Uruguay.
Yep.
Ian, does Croatia have any shot against France? And again, just eye test, they do everything well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say this, that Croatia certainly do have a chance. They proved me wrong today. I thought they were actually going to go out of the tournament at the semi-final stage against this England side that were very good throughout the tournament and were getting better. France have got better and better and better as the tournament's gone on. They seem to be hitting top form. I mentioned yesterday, there's still more to come from this French side. So my favourite still sticks with France. But Croatia, the one thing I do worry about is, again, that extra overtime. Three overtimes in a row, it's not good.
France are a team that love sitting back, inviting pressure on, and then break on the counter-attack with the pace of likes of Mbappe and Olivier Giroud, who can hold the ball up, and Griezmann. Croatia like to have the ball. So it also suits Croatia to have the ball, to keep it, to try and pin them back and wait for that opportunity.
So they could dominate time of possession.
I think they're quite happy to have the ball, Croatia, and pass it around and wait for an opportunity. So it's not going to be as wide open as maybe France want it to be, because Croatia are very good at, when they lose the ball, they funnel back, make it difficult. But they are a team that dominate possession, Croatia, and they keep the ball, where France are quite happy to turn it over, wait for you to lose it, and then they try and
one thing I'll say about today's performance, that England, if they'd have just gone gone for that little bit more. There was chances there for England to actually win the energy that game. They didn't have it.
I think they were so tired, mentally fatigued.
Right.
Another chapter, scoring the penalties, winning. I just think they was mentally... Harry Kane looked mentally tired today. Not physically. I just think he looked mentally with that. And Croatia, as I said, utilised it.
But France will have that, though. France will have that fresh leg, that energy, and they will take their chances against Croatia. You don't worry about it.
You keep saying the three extra times are going to hurt Croatia. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I argue the other, that it's going to help them in terms of confidence? There is at no point will they ever question, can we win this game no matter what? They have faced every obstacle. Mm-hmm. They're the second smallest country to ever make it to the finals. I think their confidence has to be through the roof. I just don't see fatigue being an issue.
It's a great point, because I actually thought today they would struggle with their fitness. If you remember, I mentioned it yesterday. I thought they would struggle going into extra time yet again, but they got stronger in overtime and extra time. It was incredible to me to watch this energy, this burst of energy, then get their goal, and they celebrated with a real passion. And now all of a sudden you go into a final game, maybe that confidence did come to them in that extra time period.
It's like you going to the gym for the first week and you just do an hour.
Yeah.
Then the next time you go, you do 90 minutes, and then you do 2 hours. They've got stronger. You know, like you said, they've worked out, they've 90 minutes at the beginning, then they've gone to, you know, 120 minutes. So they're actually gaining mental, like, fitness in their game.
This will sound crazy, but Brazil, you had such daunting temperatures and humidity. The travel for the World Cup was overwhelming. Cooler temperatures. We've seen more scoring in this World Cup. We've seen extra sessions. We've seen teams pick up energy. This sounds crazy, but the environment, the weather.
Yes.
I thought Brazil, it wore fans out. Mm-hmm. You were there. Yep. I thought it wore teams out. It wore players out. Mm-hmm. The energy of this World Cup, stands, pitch, has been remarkable. Croatia looks stronger today than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because the elements, it. Yeah, the elements are not against
them. There's no factor.
Not altitude. In Brazil, you're playing in a jungle with the humidity, the travel aspect of it. So from that point of view, there's no surprise we're four European teams in the semi-final because the condition suits the European teams.
I love that you mentioned that, Colin, because if you look back to Brazil, quarterfinals, semi-finals, there was that lack of energy, that lack of extra step, where in this World Cup, anything can happen. There's been goals galore. There have been mistakes happening, of course, through some tired minds and tired legs. But anything can happen in this final. Even though France are my favorites, Croatia have a real good chance.
Let me ask one more thing, and I don't know if you guys know America's history, the miracle on ice in hockey. If you guys know anything about that, Colin, maybe it's a silly analogy. But is this maybe Croatia's miracle on ice? We had to beat the Soviet Union and then had to go on to win another match to win the gold medal. Is this a silly analogy to think that this is Croatia's miracle on
ice? Would it be a stunner? Would it be a miracle if they win?
Before I start, I might have a funny accent, but I was born in this country, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, it's another great point that you make. This is a miracle. If Croatia go all the way, it would be an absolutely incredible story. But people have been waiting for this team to come out of their shell for the last two World Cups. Now all of a sudden, this team is hitting peak form.
Is Croatia's world ranking about 20th?
20th, yeah. 20th.
Okay.
But don't ever go into FIFA world rankings. You can't figure them out, so it's no, don't worry about that.
Okay.
It doesn't give you any count, but France
right, game on.
Hi, I'm Alexi Lalas. I used to play soccer back in the 1900s for the U.S. Now you can find me talking about soccer this summer during the World Cup on Fox. Now through July 15th, you can get daily FIFA World Cup updates from me through your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, play the Fox Sports Flash Briefing, and you'll get the latest tournament news straight from Russia. Alexa and Alexi, now that's a winning team. Don't forget to watch the 2018 FIFA World Cup all tournament long live on Fox and FS1.
There was some huge soccer news outside of the World Cup yesterday, with Ronaldo transferring from Real Madrid to Italy's most dominant team, Juventus. But not everyone in the soccer world was thrilled about the timing of the move, with USA Today writing, quote, having the details of his stunning switch to Italian Serie A champion Juventus slip out precisely when it did allowed him to feel, for a little while at least, bigger than the game. And bigger than its most meaningful tournament. Warren, do you think Ronaldo tried to one-up the World Cup?
No, I think, and even if he did try, Jason, he couldn't do it. This World Cup, as Ian rightly said, has had every aspect of it, whether it's been the goals, set pieces, energy, extra time, penalties. So whatever Ronaldo does is not going to overshadow this World Cup. I think it's the timing. He wanted to move. It's been done. He's out of the World Cup, so he's had plenty of time to get his agent involved. So whatever he does is not going to overshadow this World Cup because it's been magnificent.
I think it's a wonderful story. And if you look at the business side of it, we talked about yesterday LeBron James going to the Lakers being a similar story and a similar aspect. He could go on and win the Champions League. I really agree with that. But if you look at all the finances that are involved in this, it's a lot of money for a 33-year-old to go there. His wages are through the roof. I mean, probably the most expensive you'll ever see in the soccer game for years to come. But they've already made their money back. They're making money on their shares. They're selling jerseys. Juventus have got money, and Serie A is benefiting from this as well because TV rights are now going to go through the roof because Cristiano Ronaldo is going there.
One of the biggest things, in Spain, he had to pay $16 or $17 million in endorsement shirt deals. In Italy, you pay $100,000. So that's so he's but earning money there.
Years
so he
ago,
didn't have to pay the tax there.
Two of the better looking athletes of all time, Ronaldo and A-Rod. They're kind of striking, model looking.
I thought you were going to say me, but go ahead.
A-Rod got in trouble a few years ago. A-Rod got pushed back. He made an announcement during the All-Star weekend. And people are like, come on, dude, give the. I do think A-Rod, LeBron, Ronaldo, they have a sense that this is good for my brand. Yeah. I want to be talked about.
In this case, though, Colin, I think with A-Rod and sometimes with LeBron, I think their calculated decisions actually work. I don't think this works. This World Cup is so big that I think his announcement kind of got lost. If he had waited till after the World Cup, I think everybody would have, oh, my God, it would have been an even bigger story.
I couldn't agree with that more. And when you actually look at the World Cup, nobody really expected France and Croatia to be in the World Cup final. And before the tournament, if people had said that, they would have said, oh, maybe I'll tune in and watch it. It's the World Cup final. Everybody's watching this World Cup. This World Cup is full of surprises. It's full of goals. Anything can happen. France could win it. Croatia could win it. So why would you not want to tune in? And of course, with this news coming right now, I think he's jumping on the bandwagon of the World Cup because everybody's talking about soccer.
Ian,
everyone.
Ian, the thing is now, Mbappe is now everybody's favourite player.
Yes.
So Ronaldo's tried to go and people, actually, you've been knocked out. You didn't really play particularly well throughout the tournament. Mbappe's the new kid on the block, so we're not really worried. And I think I agree with you. I think he should have waited a little while, makes more news. But now Mbappe's on the scene. Well, OK, fine, you've signed your deal with Juventus. Hope it goes well. We're looking at this kid because he's the future of the game.
Yeah. Warren, I got a friend that's a bigger soccer fan than even you. My friend Stuart Varney over at Fox Business. I know you're crying right now, Stuart. We got love for you.
All right, welcome back. Joined now by longtime NFL coach Rob Ryan, former NFL player and scout Bucky Brooks. Let's move to the National Football League, which has launched an investigation into assault allegations against Buffalo's LeSean McCoy, who was accused of assaulting an ex-girlfriend and his son in an Instagram post yesterday. McCoy has disputed the account, and while the original Instagram post was deleted, the woman who posted it says she stands behind what she wrote. The NFL's record of handling domestic violence cases is a messy one. Yahoo Sports says it still has to do something, writing, quote, "The NFL can't sit idle in the face of something that is unacceptable, not with Rice, Greg Hardy, and others dotting the league's less than perfect history of trying to cope and combat domestic violence inside the league. Whitlock, should the NFL leave these types of investigations to law enforcement?"
I think absolutely. I think they're not qualified to do these investigations, and that's why there's so many mistakes made. And I think this issue is best left to law enforcement, who this is what they specialize in. Again, we just went through it with the Reuben Foster deal, and the NFL did a good job not overreacting, but you had media and fans all calling for the San Francisco 49ers to get rid of Reuben Foster. They let law enforcement handle it, and we come to find out it was totally different than what we heard in the media reports. We've seen the NFL with the Josh Brown situation try to do its own investigation, get it wrong. If they just pump the brakes, let law enforcement handle it, and then act. But jumping in and trying to do your own investigation, I think these issues are complicated. There are no winners and losers in criminal justice. There's just losers. And I think the criminal justice system gets so many things wrong, and they specialize in this. I just think they're outside their area of expertise. pump the brakes, let the law enforcement handle this, then render a conclusion.
I remember when the Duke lacrosse story came out, and I had a boss who was kind of, you know, in our newsroom, and in my opinion, we were rushing to tell a story. In fact, the New York Times rushed to tell a story, and I learned something from that story. When you're talking about accusations that will change people's life forever, I have no interest being first. I'd rather be last and accurate. This story is layered, complex. There's violence. LaShawn McCoy's career's over if it's true. Let's get it right. I'm not going to litigate it through opinion commentary in the press. This is not a game. This is not a soccer match. This is a life several in the balance. And I, to your point, I think sometimes in the media there's a rush to be first. I get that. It's a competitive field. I'll be last on this one. Because when you read this story, man, there's a lot of angles, and I think there's a lot more we don't know than we do know at this point.
Without question. There's a lot of media pressure on the NFL to get in here and draw some conclusion, and I think that's misguided.
Yeah, I think it is misguided. I think the big thing, everyone has to wait and see. Facts over accusations and allegations. I think they need to let the facts play out. You need to let law enforcement handle it. And I do understand the National Football League has a lot of pressure on its shoulders to deal with these kind of issues. But I think if you rush the judgment, if you do it wrong, you do Shady McCoy and the young lady a disservice. Let it play out. Make sure you get it right, because it's better to be right and deal with it on the back end than to falsely met a punishment that you now can't render, you can't take back. I think you need to take your time.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, you know, like you said, Colin, I mean, you've got lives at stake here. It's not, you know, you have to be accurate. And I understand the NFL wanting to protect the shield and to understand and get the facts. But like Jason said, I mean, shoot, the law enforcement, that's their job, is to get it right and to do those things. So this is definitely something that you have to let the law handle and take their time on and make sure they get it right.
You can make the argument, the NFL, proof's in the pudding, Jason. They've been poor at handing out punishment. So not only are they not experts, this has been kind of the hole in their game. They've been really poor at this part. If I'm bad at something, I'm going to take more breaths and more time and be more patient.
Coward, if you remember 10 years ago when Roger Goodell, because the media was putting pressure on the NFL, we got to clean up the image of NFL players. And the union got involved in this, too. There were so many bad news stories going on with NFL players that the media, I believe, talked Roger Goodell into being the face of discipline.
Yeah.
And I raised my hand then. I was like, you got to be careful. That's the messiest job in America. And I wish that Roger Goodell and the NFL would take a step back and say, you know what, maybe we haven't cleaned up the image of the players. Maybe this approach we're taking hasn't been as effective. And there's nothing wrong with making a mistake, because I think there's more focus on these issues now than there were before the NFL got super involved, because now we're second-guessing their investigations. Ownership is going to war with the leader of Roger Goodell that we just saw with Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones going to war. And this isn't me saying that the NFL shouldn't mete out some punishment once the facts are clear. They should. But I would love to see Roger Goodell step away from that and let a group or appoint someone to do that and not have it on the commissioner. And then I would like to see them dismantle their investigation team. Let the police and law enforcement handle it. Then you render a decision. But there's so much focus. I at some point this week, we may get into it. We just keep seeing news story after news story, Brandon Brown or player after player. We're at a critical stage for the reputation of NFL players.
You're right, because there is a lot of emphasis, a lot of focus, and I think the explosion of social media over the last 10 years has made it where it's very, very easy to find out what's going on with players. current and former. And so we're having to deal with the issues more now than ever. So because we're having to deal with it more often, we need to have the opportunity to really wait and see and to make sure we get it right. Because when we make these mess ups, it comes back at the commissioner and the National Football League. You want to protect the shield, but you want to make sure that you take your time and do it the right way. That has been the biggest problem.
I want to protect the reputation of football players. And again, I think football players decided 10, 12 years ago that in order to protect, we needed harsher discipline. But if I were D'Amore Smith and the union, rather than fighting them on the anthem issue, I would be trying to revisit the discipline issue and how the league handles it so we can be more accurate and not have these things play out and be so controversial whenever a decision is rendered. I think it's hurting the image of football players in the NFL, and there's a better approach that the league should be willing to try at this point. All right, welcome back. We're joined now by NBA champion Dante Jones and the founder of the Big League, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to LeBron James, whose relationship with Lakers fans is off to a strange start. LeBron hasn't done any press about joining his new team, and some fans even defaced a mural of him that went up shortly after he signed. Then yesterday, LeBron teased he would make an appearance at a local pizza place, and while hundreds of fans stood in the heat waiting to see him, he never bothered to show up. If you were wondering where he was, his wife posted a picture of LeBron floating in a giant donut in the pool. I was jealous of that.
That's L.A. life.
Cowherd, are you concerned about the start of LeBron's relationship with Laker fans?
Oh, God. 2 minutes into his career, a thundering dunk down the lane, he's the favorite player.
It's over.
I mean, I was in Portland, a city full of wonderful people. J.R. Ryder was in trouble every 15 minutes. He'd score 28, he could have run for mayor. I mean, listen.
Portland, that was the key word in that sentence.
Listen,
Portland.
Los Angeles is a city of artists.
Of champions.
Of flakes, of crazy, of troubled, of enigmatic.
Banners.
It's a tolerant city that's used to stars and divas and...
Kobe.
They love Kobe.
Magic.
They love Magic.
Kareem, Shaq. What, it's the city
Kardashians,
of...
crazy actors.
It's a city of champions, and it's a city that has allegiances, and for years there was a little Kobe, LeBron rivalry. Look, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm gonna put my concern level at a 3. But there is some concern about his relationship with the fan base because I think LeBron comes here in a different mindset. Again, you know, when he went back to Cleveland, when he went there the first time, when he went to Miami, it was all about doing the work to, particularly when he went back to Cleveland, to make up with the fan base, when he went to Miami to build a new fan base. I think LeBron's kind of resting on his laurels as he comes here, and just as it relates to fans, no press. He's not going to even talk, and basically hasn't even publicly acknowledged.
I would like a press conference because, as a press guy, I think he's great in front of the mic. He's very quotable. But that's selfish on my part.
And now to tease people, hey, I'm going to be at
the... Oh,
he never said that I'm going to be at that.
He didn't...
It was a play on words, number
play
one.
Play on words.
It was a play on words, number one. But they gave out free pizza, and people showed up for the pizza, number one. They didn't show up for a LeBron James press conference. However, we're dealing with one of the best fan bases in basketball, the best, the most loyal fan base in basketball. And once he goes out there and handles his business, he's not going to have a problem. I've dealt with criticism from this fan base even when Kobe got hurt in that play in Atlanta. And they threatened my kids. I had death threats. All because of the love that they have for their players and the love for that organization. And once he goes out there and plays and gives his heart to the city of Los Angeles, they'll forget all about all this nonsense.
Yeah, you had your concern at on a 1 to 10 as a 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with a 0. Because, you know, this comes back to internet versus real world, Whitlock. And we talk about this all the time. I'm out there talking to people. You know, I play pickup basketball, talk to neighbors. Everybody universally excited about LeBron. Hey, Jake, can you get us any tickets? Do you have any connections? What jersey number is he going to wear? Those are the concerns. Nobody's talking about, oh, that pizza party he blew off. Oh,
right.
How could LeBron do that? Press conference? Colin, can we be patient? We don't know if Kawhi Leonard's coming. We don't know what the other shoe is to drop.
You know that, right? Like, it's coming down the pipe.
Let's remember what happened last year. J.R. Smith threw soup at a coach. Kyrie left him. His replacement couldn't play and was dramatic, IT. Kevin Love got hurt. The coach left for a month. They redid the roster with the trading deadline. And by the Celtics series, buttoned down, dialed in, on the road in Boston, win the game. If you can overcome, by the way, an owner that resents LeBron, this owner loves LeBron, this GM loves LeBron, these young players, they can't wait to play with LeBron.
These fans love Kobe Bryant. These fans' expectations are about titles, and they won't be satisfied with what they see next year. And Jason, I want to go to you as a young father or with young kids. Oh. You say not the real world. Those people at that pizza parlor with those LeBron jerseys they thought were going to get signed, oh. It wasn't just about the free pizza, Dante. They thought they were about to see the biggest star in all the sports. And they thought they had a chance.
Did they really think LeBron James, the biggest global star in sports, was going to show up at a pizza parlor on a Tuesday in Culver City?
He does show up at pizza parlors and serves pizzas for.
Yeah, but he announces it for the free world, right? So every TV truck is there. But
2 points. Number one, on National Donut Day, when Krispy Kreme gives out donuts, they have lines like that around there because people just come for the food. Number two,
I've been in those lines.
Okay. Number two, LeBron James will have the best selling jersey this year by far because of this Laker Nation and how devoted they are to their stars.
By the way,
it's not going to dent.
You know who was really upset with that yesterday? It wasn't the fans. Half of them were quoted that. You know what they were saying? They're like, I don't know. We hope we saw him. You know who's mad? The LA media that hasn't had the press conference yet. They're like, oh, could you talk to us? You're not serving us. The LA media banged on him. The fans didn't bang on him.
Who do you think will eventually lead the fans around and set the temperature? Look, you play games with the LA media or with the media anywhere. They will fight back and push back. And again, that's why I just said on a scale of 1 to 10, a 3. I'm not saying we're DEFCON anything, but I'm saying you start messing around with the fans and the media, there can be a backlash. I'd be careful here.
First dunk, there won't be a backlash. So another guy having an issue with fans, Kevin Durant, who got into an Instagram spat with a 17-year-old who said LeBron and Steph Curry are better leaders. Durant replied in the comment, bruh, go sweep your dorm room. You don't know who. Stop tagging me in this trash. The two went back and forth in DMs for a while. Well, look, what do you make of this? Do you have an issue with KD doing this?
No, I really don't. It's on brand. This is who KD is. And I'm one of these guys just like KD. I'll talk trash with anybody back and forth over social media. The only concern I have is, you know, sometimes KD can be a little more thin-skinned than I am. I enjoy the conflict and the back and forth with fans. I'm not sure if he enjoys it, but he certainly doesn't seem to avoid it, so it appears he can handle it. I don't have any problem with this. This isn't a bad look. KD's just keeping it KD.
You know, this, I think about LeBron. LeBron never does this and gets 1,000 times more crap. One of the things that LeBron is amazing at is discipline. His diet, disciplined. You know this. His workout, disciplined. His emotional state almost never gets technicals. Draymond Green's been trying to make him throw a punch for 4 years. Won't do it. DMs, doesn't do it. Like, LeBron is a study in discipline. Emotional, physical, mental, social media. You and I are in this business for 20 years. Athletes are thin-skinned. LeBron trolls us. He trolls people. He's in total control on social media, and it's remarkable.
Well, you make a fair point, though. I'm sorry, Jason. You make a fair point, but I just think KD's different.
He is.
And so, again, I go back at people on social media. It's not because I'm thin-skinned. I just like
you
it.
Like
I've been
it.
Calling radio talk shows since I was like 11 years old.
But Colin, you say LeBron's different, and he has a wife. He has how many, 2 or 3 kids? That he's traveling for AAU tournaments. Kevin Durant's a single guy. He's, what, 29 years old. He's got a lot of idle time on his hands to go on social media. And to tell a little story here, you know, I've been going on The Herd and other shows saying I think Durant's better than LeBron. About a month ago, Kevin Durant responded to me on Instagram, you know, and we started in dialogue. We've talked for about a month, swapping messages. And his response to this telling me was, what, I can't go back at some guy who's trashing me on Instagram? Why can't I do that? Right. Why can't I defend my name? And, you know, Dante, listen, I got no problem. I defend myself on social media. You said you defend your. I have no problem with this
You're
whatsoever. Everybody's a little different.
it shows that athletes are human and that enough is enough sometimes. I know he probably gets an enormous amount of criticism on everything every day. But sometimes you just get sick and tired of people just talking crazy to you. Like, and you need to check some people because it just comes way too often from the same type of people. And he defended himself. I have no problem with it. It's just fans think that they can say whatever they want to you and have whatever type of opinion and think it is valid. And sometimes you have to stick up for yourself in life in general. So it just shows you that we are still human. We still have feelings. And we still care about how people view you, and it's just a part of social media.
I think to your point, though, LeBron's been the face of the league for 15 years, and he's been pretty regal. I mean, he really has. If you look at Jordan, sputtered at the end in D.C., there was the gambling questions when he quit basketball. You know, you kind of look at how careers end. We're 15, 16 years in with LeBron, and he is still exciting, energizing, fascinating.
Let me remind you of something. We're talking about Kevin Durant.
Oh, we are?
I knew you weren't going to let that go.
I know you love to talk about let that LeBron just James. Go. But we're talking about Kevin Durant. And I just want to be clear here with Kevin Durant. I want to follow up on Dante's point. I really think Kevin Durant is doing this with a smile on his face. I think he actually enjoys the engagement. And I think that I don't think it's an arrogance. I think he thinks the guy that he responded to, hey, man, I'm actually engaging back and forth with Kevin Durant. And some people do that. That's one of the I never want to be inaccessible to my fans and or my critics. That's one of the reasons why I engage with him on social media. That's one of the reasons why I may pop up and call a radio talk show for no reason. I would like to be accessible. Others, LeBron doesn't like to be as accessible, maybe because his burden is so great because he's LeBron. But I think Kevin Durant actually gets enjoyment out of this and is actually trying to give the person he's responding to some enjoyment and satisfaction.
What about the fact that, and that is a great point, Whitlock, and I got to ask you, like, at some point when all these guys are blasting you, whether it's Charles Barkley on TV, you know, whether it's the media, the columnists, whether it's TV show guys, at what point can you write your own narrative and just say, you know what, I'm just sick. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to let you guys, radio guys, whoever, dictate my career on social media. I'm just going to step up and say something. And we blast these athletes when they're honest, which is what Kevin Durant's doing, and then we blast them when they don't say anything. Barry Bonds, you know, Tom Brady doesn't say anything. Kawhi Leonard doesn't say anything. We blast him. And to me, part of it is there's just no win for them. Whether they respond or they don't, they can't win.
True, it is. There really is no win. If you respond, but some people enjoy the response. Some people enjoy the engagement of just going back and forth with somebody and arguing with somebody and putting that person on blast and showing how maybe stupid your comments are sometimes. But other people are not bothered by it and feel like they should never have to address something from somebody who doesn't even have close to the skill level that they have.
One thing, though, was solved today. There used to be this kid named Jason in Kansas City who called me when I started my radio career, and it was you.
It probably was.
He was a smart kid. He brought up good points. He was argumentative.
Very mouthy, right?
Look, we hired a kid here, Jayhawk Mark. We call him Mark. His name's Mark Gunnels. I call him Jayhawk Mark. He was a 10, 12-year-old kid who used to call my radio show in Kansas City. He reminds me of me. I love to engage. I'd call Bob Lamy was the voice of the Pacers and now the Colts. I'd call a show when I was a kid, going off.
Welcome back. Rob Bryan, Bucky Brooks here. Let's return to the National Football League where Jimmy G and the Niners better be ready for primetime because they'll be playing five games under the bright lights this year. Tied for the most in the NFL since bursting on the scene in Tom Brady's absence a couple of years ago. And then following up, as Jason said, five great starts in San Francisco last year to end the season. Jimmy G's been one of the more hyped young players in the league. Doesn't help he's Jimmy GQ. Whitlock, is he the most important young quarterback in the league?
Yeah, I really think so. And I'm aware people love Carson Wentz. People love Deshaun Watson. But I think this kid's unique in he plays from the pocket. He is Jimmy GQ. He's playing for his historic franchise in the San Francisco 49ers. And I think the thing a lot of people are discounting is our media center is no longer New York. It is San Francisco. It is Silicon Valley because they control all the social media outlets. They will make this kid bigger than life if he has success there in San Francisco. Yes, I think he's the most important quarterback, young quarterback in the league. He's the heir to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and the previous group of quarterbacks.
I disagree. I think it's Dak Prescott. Silicon Valley's powerful, but the NFL's still on television. NBC, Fox, ABC, CBS, NFL Network, and the Cowboys are the number one show on all five of those networks during the football season, and Dak Prescott's the quarterback for that team. This league has always shown an ability to be fine with the Niners being average. It's not as good when the Cowboys are average. If Dak Prescott went to somebody else in the fourth round, the Jaguars, and right now they had Kellen Moore, and they were, by the way, the NFC is loaded, and the Cowboys were swimming around with a C-minus quarterback and were 4-12, it would hurt Fox. We're the NFC. It would hurt Monday Night Football. It would hurt Sunday Night Football. This league can survive without the Niners being dynamic. The Cowboys, with all this controversy around the NFL, the kneeling stuff, the one thing that was still true, if the Cowboys were on, the ratings were good. And I think they'll always run this league.
I agree with Colin. I think Dak Prescott is the most important young quarterback because that franchise is a franchise that 2 years ago, they were on the verge of making a Super Bowl run with him as a rookie quarterback. You get Ezekiel Elliott back. You have Dak Prescott now playing without the distraction of Dez Bryant and even an older Jason Witten. I think we're going to see the best Dak Prescott that we've seen. I just believe without all the receivers that they have, I know they don't have a number one, but because Zeke Elliott can dictate the coverage and command enough where they have one-on-one, Dak Prescott's going to be
Dak Prescott, I get it. Y'all love Dak Prescott. Y'all love the star and the Cowboys. But I remember Peyton Manning playing in Indianapolis. I remember Tom Brady playing in New England. And the league doing really good with those guys and the Cowboys with Tony Romo and bailing out of the playoffs whenever they did. Quarterbacks drive this league. And if they're great and really elite, we've seen Aaron Rodgers carry the league in Green Bay.
In that era you're talking about, we didn't have the cap stuff. We didn't have young people stopping watching television. The NFL's got social media. They've got a press that's anti-NFL. There are challenges now.
Kid could fix some of that playing in San Francisco and get Silicon Valley because a lot of that stuff is driven out of Silicon Valley.
I think this guy has had a huge advantage to playing with the Patriot system. The big thing about these teachers, these Josh McDaniels, Brian Daboll, they started as defensive coaches. So they don't just teach the fundamentals of the position. They teach the defense and how to read defense. And that's why those quarterbacks go on and are successful. I mean, Matt Castle made a Pro Bowl playing for the Chiefs. Brian Hoyer's over 500, and that included stints with Cleveland. I mean, you know, so this guy's got a real chance. The big thing is, can he stay healthy? Because I think all the star power, like you say, it's there. I mean, it is. The guy's undefeated as a starter. He beat teams down the stretch that actually needed to win, and he beat them with the Niners. The Niners were making progress despite being, you know, being 0-for, whatever it was, until Garoppolo played. They've got a lot of young talent stored up there, and I think they're going to be a team on a rise. But this quarterback in particular, he's got a huge advantage by playing with those coaches. And now he's playing for Kyle Shanahan, another excellent offensive coach. I look forward to this guy doing great things.
Let me ask you this, Kyle Hurt. When did Troy Aikman retire? Because that's the last time the Cowboys had a great quarterback.
Tony Romo was really good.
The last time they had a great quarterback was Troy Aikman, and he's my age. It's been a while since the Cowboys have had a great quarterback.
Well, the question was, who was the most
important?
Okay, I have Dak 1 and Jimmy G 2. You have me. You think I've got Dak 1 and Jimmy G 18th.
Well, I think the difference is, like, Dak Prescott, we have a longer resume. We've seen Dak Prescott play for two full seasons. For Jimmy Garoppolo, we've seen two games with New England as starts, and then five in San Francisco. The test of time will come this year.
I don't want to knock
that. When we see him this year.
But you forced me to knock that. He doesn't have five games as good as the last five Jimmy G laid down.
Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson does.
He has 16 games.
And none of those 16 match or reach the level with that dude did in five.
That's a fact. What are you talking about?
You know what? You know what your man's nickname was for Dak Prescott? Dak and Dunk. He was selling donuts when they were 16.
Don't forget about Deshaun Watson.
The most important quarterback in the league. A lot of people think Eli Manning will have a lot to prove this year, including Eli Manning. The 37-year-old quarterback says he feels that the Giants' decision to pass on a quarterback in the draft was a vote of confidence and that he wants to prove that the team right for trusting in him. Cowherd. You think the Giants are really still confident in Eli?
To a point, but they hired a new coach who's an offensive guy. They upgraded it. Where did they spend their money?
Running
left tackle. What did they do with their draft? running back and offensive line. They like Eli. They drafted a quarterback in the fourth round. But when they had to hire a coach and their first two draft picks and their number one free agent, they went for people that can help Eli Manning. They like him. They know he needs a lot of help. He's not Carson the athlete. He's not Alex the athlete. He's not Dak the athlete. He's the fourth best quarterback in that division.
I think they took Saquon Barkley at number two because they didn't like any of the quarterbacks in this year's draft. I think they have confidence in Eli for this year and this year only. And then Pat Shurmur's going to go out and do what head coaches do, get his quarterback.
I think this franchise believes that Eli Manning is a guy. And more specifically, David Gettleman believes that Eli Manning is what a franchise quarterback should be. When I talked to people at Carolina that worked with Dave Gettleman, they said that he would routinely say that Eli Manning is the type of quarterback that you should build your franchise around. So when he went to New York, I was not surprised that they kept him. They believe that he is the model quarterback that you build
at
around.
37?
He won Super Bowl. They can't get those loving eyes we'll never see. They believe that Eli Manning can dust it off with the right supporting cast.
He's won two Super Bowls. Look, he had absolutely nobody to throw to except a young tight end last year. He gets all these guys back. He gets a left out. That was the worst protection I've ever seen in my life last season for the Giants. It was just terrible. Now they've got all these new starters on their line. Hopefully you'll have time to do it. And they got the best player in the draft right now as this running back. So, look, these Mannings, you can't ever count them out because they're winners. They know the game inside out. I'm excited.
How long has it been since Eli's been elite or in the discussion of?
Well, he's not elite, but remember this.
I'm just saying, how long has it been? I mean,
it's been a while, but
I think two years ago, he was awfully good.
The last 2 years. Listen, man, they upgraded massively at running back, left tackle, guard, coach. Evan Ingram's a tremendous, by the way, OBJ's back. So their receiving core is upgraded massively. I mean, every unit of the offense went from a C to at least a B to a B+. He's going to have a nice year. His biggest issue is the whole division. It's pretty good. Pass rushers on every team.
Next year, they're going to upgrade a quarterback, too. they didn't like your guy, Sam Darnold. They didn't like Baker Mayfield too short.
Well, if they didn't like Sam Darnold, that they have bigger issues in their scouting department.
Wow, nice.
If the Giants looked at Sam Darnold and they were like, yeah, we don't think he's any good. Sam Darnold's the best college quarterback, arguably, last two or three drafts. If you didn't like him as a scouting department, well, get a new scouting department.
How many teams disagreed with your opinion on Sam Darnold? Because he didn't go number one.
You're all in.
He went three. The other New York team, they're not going to have to worry about quarterback for 15 years. Giants are.
All right, welcome back. Time for last call. Let's move to the Lakers, where Luke Walton just gave Lonzo Ball a vote of confidence, saying he's a winner and that Rajon Rondo will be a good mentor for him. Cowherd, you buying this? Rondo would be a good mentor for Lonzo?
I think he's a good fit. I don't know if mentor is in his DNA, but I do like, if you're telling me Lonzo Rondo are my point guards, that's 21 points and 11 assists on a nightly basis between the two.
And it's probably 22% shooting from three.
Come on.
And it's a lot of garbage buckets. Listen, mentor, to me, what does that mean?
Like
is that
teacher.
On the bench, off the bench?
That's not who Rondo is.
No, I'm saying, is Rondo the starter who's mentoring the young understudy, or is he coming off the bench?
Rondo's off the bench.
Then I don't think he's going to be a good mentor because I think Rondo's super competitive. He's going to look at Lonzo Ball. What can he do that I can't do? We both don't have jump shots. Everything else, I'm better than him. He may be taller than me, but I ain't got no loudmouth dad. All right, let's move to Trae Young, who was terrible in his first couple of summer league games, but actually looked good yesterday, scoring 24 points and hitting half of his shots. Oh, my God. Or he was shooting 7 of 13 from three. Cowherd, you think Young's performance will silence the haters?
No, because I think that's who he's going to be. I think for the first couple years in this league, physically he looks small. He's going to be a hot and cold player. You're going to get nights like that, and then you're going to get two bad nights. I don't think physically he's the kind of kid that can give you a 9-game stretch like Steph. I think he's got a long way to go. But I do think he'll have nights like this.
Not in the NBA.
You don't think so?
In the G League, he'll have nights like that. And I think he'll have him in the summer league like he did.
Boy, Rondo, Trae Young. You don't like these young guards.
Can't shoot.